A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ladies and gentlemen, two men from opposite ends of the physical, cultural, and emotional spectrums. Flats and Shanks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of our podcast. I'm David Flatman.
Tom Shanklin.
All right?
Yeah, good boy. You?
Yeah, tell him where we are, mate.
Well, no, do you know what episode it is first?
32.
One.
Is it?
Oh. No, it's 32.
Oh, sorry. Ruined your game, didn't I?
Yeah, we are in a lovely hotel in Swansea. Mumbles area.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. One of my dad sorted out one of his mates' houses for us to come round and do a podcast. I better introduce him. He's desperate to speak. I had to write down his clubs. Just couldn't remember them off the top of my head. Start off at Neath, Netley, Cardiff, Witness, Canterbury Bulldogs, Warrington, North Queensland Cowboys, Great Britain and Wales.
Left Trimsaran out.
And Trimsaran.
There you are.
We've got Jonathan Davis, OBE.
Cheers, Shanks.
Thank you.
Jiffy, yeah. Welcome. Well, we're in your house.
Welcome, but, yeah. Thank you. Thanks for coming down, boys.
Hey, lovely spot this, isn't it?
It's a lovely spot, I know, but half a mile away from the lovely sea. It's good.
Often I'm asked, like, who, you know, if I could have anyone's life, who would it be? It used to be Gareth Edwards.
Did it?
Now it's Jiffy.
Shut up. Believe. I get told you last week, work to live, not live to work.
Yeah.
That's important, right? You remember that now. If we are lucky, you're lucky to be a professional sportsman, you cherish every day of it, and then you've got to come up to the real world.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, try and
as you can. You know, we all work hard in parts, and then we have a bit. You know, we have downtime, whatever. But I think there are people working harder than us, and we're probably working harder than some people think sometimes. But I always think you're never going to get to 80 years old if you weigh as much as me. No, you're never going to get to 80 years old and think, I wish I'd worked a bit harder.
No, exactly.
So,
and I was like, it's the same thing. You know, people say, "Oh, you're doing this and doing that." Like, I was a painter and decorator. You know, I left school to be a painter and decorator at 60, and I worked in the open cast. So we were working 6 till 6 Monday to Friday, then going training for Neath, and then work 6 till 12 on a Saturday and go and play against Bath or Cardiff or Scarlett.
Do you still dabble in a bit of paint and decorating?
No, absolute rubbish. I knew my days were numbered when I was in a job and with my mate, and he was the paper hanger and I was the kind of paster, and I pasted the wrong side of the anaglypta, so I kind of knew my days were numbered.
You've got a lovely tan on you anyway. Where have you been?
Thank you. I just came back from a family holiday to Bali. So took all the kids over there because they're all kind of living all over the country now and working. So we just had a chance to get together and go away.
And you
that's nice.
You trumped flat something, you really? Cause...
Well, yeah, because I went there for a honeymoon, like the most holiday of a lifetime, and Jiffy just took all 15 of his kids there.
Yeah, just for something to do.
Just somewhere to go. And
yeah, Folly Farm was booked.
There was a celebrity board up there, Flat. I didn't see you up there. Even Scott Staniford was up there, even, and you weren't even up there, love.
I could take him.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Scott Staniford.
I know. Yeah. Blast from the past.
I'll have his head off.
Yeah, but I suppose you're sort of more famous now that you're a media mogul.
What I, the way I look at it is that who remembers that Martin Bayfield was a British Lion? You forget. He's just now someone who...
Did he play rugby?
Exactly, right? Exactly.
Did he?
Stuart Barnes was one of the best fly halves in England. And people don't remember that now. They respect him for what he does now.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm clinging on to, that one day somebody will respect me for what I do now, because I wasn't that good.
That's a great story, because I remember we played golf a few years ago, and my kids were there, and Gary Lineker kind of played in the golf tournament, and my kids went, Dad, it's that guy off the crisps advert. Exactly what you say. You know, it's like, he wasn't the greatest goal scorer England had.
I get... Mistake. I've said it before in this pod. I had it last weekend. I did. I commentated on La Rochelle against Gloucester, which was an amazing occasion. Actually, the atmosphere there was. I've not been there before. It was brilliant, and a really, really gorgeous town as well. But it was people recognising me. I mean, I think I had to say I had five would be underselling it. Recognising me as Trevor Woodman, who played for Gloucester, and I didn't. Not only did he play for Gloucester, but he was beside the pitch in his kit coaching Gloucester. At the time when they're saying, Trevor, can I have a photo, please? And these people are ardent Gloucester fans in their shirts. We've done what I did, which was takes three cars and two planes to get to La Rochelle in the West Country. It was painful.
You've looked nothing like Trevor Woodman.
Nothing like it. He's in great shape.
Boris Stankovic.
Yeah, Boris Stankovic. Omar Jarley.
Yeah, one of the baddies in Taken.
I have Nigel Owens. Everywhere I go.
Oh, yeah.
Great refing. I'm like, thanks. I'm just fed up now saying it's not, I'm not Nigel.
Just take it, yeah. People like Nigel.
That's the main thing.
So in that La Rochelle-Gloucester game, I don't know if you saw it, but Richard Hibbard got one right in the ghoulies.
In the cobblers.
In the cobblers.
My old man used to call them.
one in the ghoulies and the
good
ref.
Good old Jim.
Big Jim Shanklin.
I said, watch Jim play London Welsh Netley, Boxing Day, big crowd.
Son of Jim.
Is it right to think that he possibly inspired you to become what you did?
It was part of it. But I did actually go and watch Sletley.
Yeah.
But they had a good side. They did London Welsh, Mervyn Davis.
Oh, yeah.
John Taylor.
God rest their soul.
Yeah, and then you got... London Welsh. Who else was playing for them? Gerald.
George JPR, Dawes.
What a team.
John Dawes.
I said George.
Neil Bennett. Can't remember the scrum half was. They had a brilliant side.
Yeah.
And their second rows was the North Whelian guy. What's his name now?
Mike Roberts.
Yeah. Really good side to watch. And Scarlett's had JJ, Andy Hill, Roy Berger, Ray Gravel, Phil Bennett, Cunnells, Delmy Thomas. Brilliant.
Gone on those
Boxing
days,
Day,
now,
packed
they?
Out. Yeah. Me and my dad on the terrace.
Quality.
The one-eyed Scarlett fans. Brilliant. Those are the days.
Yeah. On the way up here, literally through, just as I drove past the Mumbles sign down there, this big Jag drove past me and the number plate was 2JPR. And I didn't get a look at the driver. No. Any chance?
Is he still banned?
Do you everything in his mouth?
I don't know if it was him.
Let's hope it wasn't him,
yeah.
But yeah, so Hibbard got punched. Johnny Ngovi, the big second row, whacked him in the nuts, and then Hibbard rightly went down.
Now, I've watched this. I don't know if it hit him actually in the nuts.
Or the guts or the nuts.
He got punched, didn't he? He didn't get punched.
He got punched by a 25-stone man.
Yeah, he went down.
He went down, rightly. I mean, that would have hurt if you're not expecting it. And then someone said, oh, he's grabbing the other guy's nuts beforehand. But he's just mauling and he's just got hold of his short whatever. Nothing in that.
That's what it's called, is it? Grabbing nuts, mauling.
Mauling, yeah. Screw gripping. So the referee then tells him off for diving and says, you're in the wrong sport. And then, so all the referees make mistakes. I mean, who cares, right? But... one guy tweeted me that the referee should be ashamed of himself, something like that, and he blames Nigel Owens for all these witty one-liners. It's nice. So Nigel Owens indirectly got the blame for this ref making a mistake the other day. I mean, what is going on?
I know. It's just ridiculous. When we had Clive Norlin, Derek Bevan, Fred Howard, also the English boys, you know, a lot of the Irish referees. We had good chat with them throughout the game, you know. Just got to... You know, keep it kind of real, have a laugh. I don't see many people smiling anymore on the pitch, do you? Because it's their job and their livelihood, I understand that. But, you know, you've got to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got to enjoy
it. Makes it far more entertaining.
As a player, you know, I know we're all ex-players, you've got to appreciate what a privileged lifestyle you've got as a player, and you've got to try and enjoy it.
Mm.
So it's, and if the referee, you know, helps you enjoying that and you get on with it and you have a chat with him, because when you run to a scrum or a line-out, most of the halfbacks will have a word in and say something. So it's just normal banter. You just got to keep it real, man. You know, just Everyone's just so serious now. And social media, it's a joke, isn't it?
Oh, mate, it kicks off, doesn't it?
I wanted to talk to you about social media because...
You two get trolled.
Well, no, it's as soon as you... I find, I mean, you know, as soon as you're on social media and you... If you're commentating on a, you know, a Pro 12 game or I'm doing a Premiership game, now and again, lots of people will write nice things because anyone can text you now, effectively. And some people will write horrible things. Then as soon as you commentate on an international match... Holy shit. So I've now got a rule that after an international match, it's not that I won't tweet, but I won't read my comments after an international because I don't need the praise and I don't need the insults.
Flats is really biased though in his commentary. He gets picked up on the top.
I can give you examples, right? It's if you're doing England Wales, for example, right? 9 million viewers, right? Mm. And it's all emotional. Twitter's all emotion. Yeah. You just say whatever you think at the time. And everyone's absolutely... Because it's a Friday night as well. It makes it worse because everyone's been on it most of the day, on the beer. But I would say 50% would say I've been biased towards Wales and 50% would say I've been biased towards England. Yeah. Okay, so yeah. I just introduce them to each other. But you don't mind that. It's the abuse you get. You understand. And the one thing I don't like is, yeah, you take it on the chin. You know, you've been in, done it. It's your opinion. Like I said, opinions are like arseholes, right? Everyone's going. That's for me. And if you give an opinion, then people react to it. What I don't like, and is someone maybe in your own profession, I'm going to go, that's what I don't like, is I've never, ever slagged another broadcaster off.
Yeah.
You don't like everyone. You don't respect anyone. But, you know, you're not going to slag them off because that's their profession. Yeah. Sometimes you've got to... That's when it roils me a little bit, is when someone who's... been doing the same job or doing the same job as I was a little pop at you, you know what I'm saying?
Really?
Just everyone really. I've been doing this for 20 years now, right?
Mm.
And it has changed. Wow. It has changed a lot, you know, but the games change, players have changed, attitudes have changed, but the biggest thing has been social media.
Oh yeah,
because
of
a lot of...
It's changed the world.
It has. It's just absolutely ridiculous. When you look at something like golf, for example, that lady golfer who lost the US Open because she didn't put the ball back in the same place and some guy on television reported her, you know what I mean?
I literally only know Laura Davis.
No, okay, it wasn't her anyway. So, and the same thing, I saw Patrick Harrington get, he disqualified himself then because he did something. His ball moved or something while he was over the putt. But to the naked eye, right, no one saw it. Some sad bloke on the end of, you know, watching a computer in Australia somewhere said it moved and you watch it in super slow-mo.
Yeah,
sometimes it's just a little bit of common sense as well.
But sometimes, like, just a short reply helps with you, doesn't it? Like, he's really good at...
Doorknob.
Yeah.
Except for leave the dick. Door out.
You just
leave the door
reply
out.
To someone, dick or knob.
Yeah. But I don't understand is they can have a pop with me, but I'm not supposed to have a pop with them.
You're not allowed because you're on telly.
And I get into trouble then. Oh,
it also relieves the boredom as well, doesn't it?
Oh, it's brilliant sometimes, you know, just... Because if you really wanted to say what you really thought, right, you would be sacked.
Yeah.
You know, but so you just got to try and be a little bit clever about it.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't got an insight into your world this week because I did something about the Lions tour on the launch on Wednesday and I said about all the Scots and I said that. I said, as a team... Scotland play well in the Six Nations and they perform well. But if you mark those individuals against the Lions players going already, they've made, I think, the right calls.
It's very difficult.
And that's my opinion.
Collectively, they've played well. Like, and also, if you're going to be Gatland and if there's going to be a 50-50 call, Gatland has got to come back and coach Wales. And I think that he knows what those players are capable of because he's worked with them.
Yeah.
So, and there's not a lot of time to... I suppose with the players before the test, so it's it is always going to be kind of a contentious topic because you've got a guy who's been coaching Wales for the last, so any 50-50 call, wherever he goes or not, he's going to upset the Welsh players or he's going to upset the Scottish players.
He also knows them better. He knows them 100 times better, so it's natural.
And I think a lot of them a few of the Welsh boys are lucky that they have gone
one
on.
Or two, yeah.
Yeah, but and the Scot, you're right. I think the Scottish boys. If you look, you mentioned the Gray brothers, brilliant players, right? But if Joe Lounsbery doesn't go, there's no complaint for the two Gray brothers because Lounsbery's been better than those two.
I think Finn Russell and Dan Biggar was a close call between one of those two going. But he's obviously gone with what he knows. Right, we get a load of questions, Jeff, on Twitter. And
go on,
guy called John Roberts, right, wants to know, will you ever go into coaching? Or have you ever turned down offers coaching in... Union or league?
Once I was approached by Bath.
Oh, yeah.
I think he might have been still playing flats, to be honest. I remember when, was this Savaili scored a last minute, tried to save you from relegation?
Elvis Savaili.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was at the Ospreys for a bit as well.
Yeah, he was there. Yeah, I think Gareth Cooper did a break and put him down.
That's
the
right, down the blind side. Yeah. Yeah,
I remember watching. I had a phone call then with Mr. Brownsword. I met with him. I said, would I mind.
What's his surname? Brownsword.
Yeah.
He used to own the club.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know that.
There we are, see, Shanks.
He created Hallmark cards.
Yeah, he did. So he was one of maybe the first English benefactors, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So
Shanks is still laughing at Brownsword. Yeah, I know. We used to call him Bootlegger. Did you hear? Yeah. He's a genuinely great fella.
I got a little
dinner party, posh dinner party for older people that he's at now.
Yeah.
And he's great company.
But when you see really him, good. Give him my regards. Really nice guy. So I was approached by him to kind of say, look, will you come and oversee Bath? Because they had all the Aussies in charge then.
Yeah, yeah.
And would I,
Foley and Conley.
Yeah, would I come and just have a look at and just keep an eye on everyone, oversee it? And at the time, it wasn't right for me. But that's the only time I've ever had the offer to come in. I've considered it, but, you know, you're not just going to stroll into a job. I wouldn't do that. You know, I wouldn't put myself in that position, even if someone offered it to me. But I wouldn't mind going in somewhere and saying, right, I'll be a kind of a technical advisor, stand back, watch what's going on, see how they're trying to play, and look at individual players on how they can better themselves and what they need to work on, and watch and have a tactical overview on it, and things like that, and maybe, you know, from under 16s, age group up, or even to the national side. So.
There was someone again on social media a couple of years ago. I was in a. Someone was tweeting me and Austin Healy and said something. Austin was having a pop at somebody and Austin was dead right. I forget what he said, but so and so wasn't good or whatever it was, and he was dead right. And and this guy said, it's always easy for you to say from your whatever is your warm studio, you haven't got the balls to go and be a coach, you haven't got the courage. And he said, actually, and I thought, it's actually not, I don't want to be a coach. It's not about that. Oh. It's actually, it doesn't interest me. I've got, you know, if you've played in massive games. I've scrummaged against gorillas. We've all got the courage. We'll run into big people.
Yeah.
But it's not about that. It's about, and it's not, I'm not worried, you know, it just doesn't interest me. Looking at laptops and coaching doesn't interest me at all.
When you've finished playing in a long career and you think the last thing I wanted to do was be on a rugby pitch, in my tracksuit, doing it again, and then actually not playing. So when that decision came to go and do something else, that's what happened. I just didn't fancy it at the time. And I've been lucky that I haven't really thought about it. But you do look at people, you know, Dai Young and Phil Davis and Robert Howley and players I played with, right? God, you know, the strain and
the stress.
And they're so comfortable when they're not in that environment. Yeah. They're so much happier. It's kind of... Well, this is 10 months of the year as a player, but it's more than that for a coach.
There's no days off as a coach. I remember towards the end, we used to have Wednesdays off, right? So Wednesdays off, and we used to walk through the club on a Wednesday morning about 9:30, 10 to go for a brekkie with all the lads in Bath, and the coaches' cars would be there, and they're planning for the next week.
Mm.
And Friday afternoon, team run, have a bit of lunch and go home, and they're having a meeting, planning, doing lineouts for next week. It's like, jeez, you know.
I don't think the same enjoyments anymore, because I remember talking to one of the Cardiff players, Cardiff Blues players, years and years ago, and I said, look, you know, how do you keep yourself motivated? He said, Saturday's like a Monday now. That's not right, is it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the spark has gone, just like I think people.
That'd be Nugget as well. Who spoke?
If you're lucky, if you're happy in your work. And I think, you know, the majority of people aren't happy in their work. But as a sportsman, rugby player, if you enjoy your job, you've got to pack it in, mate, and wait till you finish. And then you get welcome to the real world.
Yeah. Right. Andrew Nicholson on Twitter. Do you know Andrew Nicholson?
No.
TWL?
No. Should I know him?
Yeah, you probably know him. He's a Penarthian.
Oh, is he? Okay.
One of my crew.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Do you find it difficult?
One of the mob, is he?
From the Riviera. Do you find it difficult being a pundit and friends with the same rugby players you have to be critical about?
No, well, the players, no, you know, I'm a different generation, so I don't know any of them. It's difficult when you know, I played with Robert Howley and Dai Young and Ollie, so maybe in the coaching front of it.
Do you find it difficult to be critical of the coaches?
No, because I think it's...
It's a job.
You look at it, right? First of all, you look at it as a player, and you look at it then when you've been in that environment. When journalists come involved and when fans come involved, they can just give a throwaway line, right? Not knowing, you know, what they're trying to achieve and what's going to happen if they get the sack and everything. So, you know, if things go bad, sack the coach. You don't look at the players. You can't sack 15 players, but you can sack the coach. So that's it. So it's ways of saying it, you know. They put themselves under pressure, the coaches, and they know. And biggest problem with me with Rob Howley is the fact that I don't understand why Liam Williams doesn't play fullback. No. We don't score enough tries, and yet the most potent player is on the wing. And I think with Lee Halfpenny, he's the better winger than the fullback.
We don't score tries from kick receipts, do we?
We don't do anything, do we? We don't score tries. We don't attack from set piece because they say we can't score from set piece. Well, that's the best place to score. Just look at New Zealand. You know, play flat against, even again, they can score with one pass from a set piece. When Bowden Barrett hits the ball flat, and the scrum half of the wing forward can't get to him. You have to be careful, and you can't make it personal. That's the only thing. But you have to say what you think. One, to keep your credibility, because if you start going down that route of, I can't say this because I might upset him and he's my mate, you've had it. You've got a short career in broadcasting. Yeah. So you've got to keep your credibility. And when I was playing, people forget, Phil Bennett and Barry John had a go at me. Ex-players had a go at me.
Yeah.
And you take it on the chin, you move on, you respect their decisions. Sometimes you listen to it, and sometimes you don't listen to what they say. So, no, you've got to say what you think.
You know, Paul Williams,
rugby
pundit, I think he still works for College Slaters, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's a marketing guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's got a question on Twitter. What do you make of Bowden Barrett, and could he herald a return of the quick outside half?
Yeah, I don't see. I can't see why, you know, the end of the quick go to the halves kind of when it happened, you know. But
it's still there. Like Billy Burns scored an intercept try at the weekend.
Yeah, he can go. And you know, there's a lot of. But he is different. He knows how to use his pace.
Yeah,
that's the difference with Bowden Barrett. He can look up and say, right, you know, he knows when to hit the ball flat. He knows when to hit the ball kind of a little bit deeper and go on the outside shoulder. He also knows how to run an inside line to hold the bigger forwards. So he's clever, and he is just brilliant. His acceleration is tremendous. And he will be, you know, maybe New Zealand's biggest asset, you know, when the Lions go down there. So it's hopefully, because there is, in international rugby, there is no substitute for pace.
Mm.
Absolutely no substitute for pace. And I think that hopefully, you know, the more players you have with genuine speed, you know, I think the better equipped you are of beating sides.
Here's one for you. Daniel Evans wants to know, again from Twitter, best player you've played with in league and union.
Daniel Evans at the Bath Chronicle rugby writer. Tap on his thing.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, good guy.
I've been lucky. I play.
We'll answer it then.
I play some brilliant, you know, world class players. Even on rugby league, you look at. I played with people like against Mal Meninga, Andrew Johns, Darren Lockyer, Gene Miles, Wally Lewis.
Yeah.
All these players. Yeah, they
Gordon
were just,
Tallis.
Gordon Tallis. They My just. Favorite.
Hopewati.
No, they play against Brown Sword.
One of your regrets, biggest regret.
That'd be exciting. That'd be a thrill. But I played with Lawrence Delaney, I played with Martin Johnson, Howley, you know, played with Campisi. Yeah, I've been very fortunate in both courts to play with the best players in the world. If I played the one guy I really thought was for me the best player I ever played with was Terry Holmes.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. He was absolutely immense to play with. Yeah. And I didn't think he'd keep the back row honest, because if they stepped away, from there, he was big enough and hard enough to score tries. He'd make a last-ditch tackle, you know, he'd make a bone-crunching tackle to turn the match. And for me, he didn't play in the greater side as well, so I think that he was absolutely immense. And then Andy Farrell in the top five best players I've ever played with either code.
Really? Why?
Talent or mindset?
Both. He had the skills, you know, he could kick, he'd kick goals, he'd kick, you know, line kicks, he'd smash tackles, you know, he'd lead from the front, but he had the deftness of, you know, hands as well, and he read the game very well. Maybe the best player is Andrew Johns, I ever saw play.
Yeah.
The Australian scrum half, yeah, he's brilliant.
Yeah, freaky good.
Yeah. Questions?
There's a question about a fly half specific one. You mentioned Andy Farrell, and it's indirectly related to Owen, because it's not about Owen, actually. It's about George Ford. Watching Bath play against Paris at the weekend, and there's a kick to win it, and I'm absolutely a believer that you don't blame the goal kicker for missing a last minute kick, because I wouldn't kick it. I wouldn't have the energy to kick it and all that stuff. But I do, there are question marks. I think there are no question marks, as far as I'm aware, about George Ford as an attacking fly half. When they're on the front foot and he's playing and getting that ball to the line and giving late passes, he's just joy to watch. Just love watching him. But then defensively, he's not a big guy, but there are times when he gets brushed off, I think, a bit too easily.
Yeah.
But I just think at those big moments, I watched that kick and someone tweeted it, and I always think it's the sort of thing I wouldn't tweet because it doesn't mean anything and it's needlessly offensive. Nevertheless, I did agree with it, so I'm a hypocrite, because I looked at that and the first thing I thought was, before he kicked it, Owen Farrell would kick this. And will George kick it? We don't know. And he missed it. So I just wonder, doesn't have to goal kick for England because Owen's there, which is handy.
Yeah.
But I just wonder, when it comes to the big events, the big dance, as a fly half, do you watch him and think he's the guy you would pick, or would you be looking at Farrell all day long?
Well, it's just, it says a lot of the quality of George is when England play him 10 and Farrell 12.
Yeah.
Because you're right, when he's on the front foot, there's not a better standoff in the British Isles to open up defences. He runs, takes a ball to the line, he ball in two hands, he has runners at either side.
He's
brilliant, and he picks off the forwards, you know, very well. Yeah, there is, you know, he's not the most consistent kicker, and you can see maybe he's not comfortable, whereas Faz is totally different. You look at him, he's hard-nosed, but basically he's just a better kicker. Same thing with, if you look at, you know, Johnny Wilkinson, Neil Jenkins, best two kickers maybe we've ever seen. Then you've got Lee Halfpenny. Yeah, it's a mindset. You know, you say you don't want to do it, flat, is because you don't practice it. As a kicker, I knew if it was a kick to win the match, it was up to me to step up and do it. And if you miss a kick, I don't really care. What I don't like is, say, when you're setting up a drop goal to win the match, and then the outside half doesn't organise it and control it, because you're thinking, you were there to win that game, mate. The forwards have put you in the position. You've got to step up and bang it over. And I remember I played against Wasps in the Heineken Cup once, and we scored three tries. Howley scored a couple. I missed six penalty kicks, right? We should have been way out of sight, and we were losing by 2 points. And then last minute, like, ball comes back to me. Only thing I could do is drop a goal, hit it, right? Eyes closed, went over. We win by a point, right? I missed six kicks, because you forget about those six. If it affects your confidence, I'd be going, oh, I'm not going to miss a drop goal. And I was coming back in the bus, and then my mum rang me, right? And I said, see the game, mum? She said, yeah. So what do you think? She said, oh, got yourself out of the shit again, didn't you?
when you say your mum rang you, you had to pull over to services. Yeah, use the paper. There's a really good question, actually, from a guy called Rob Sherrington, right? He wants to know, what current home nation's international players, so let's say Wales, because 2v1 here and we're in Swansea, would benefit technically from a season or two in rugby league?
I think...
Hang on, what players would benefit?
Yeah. You know, so like, you know, when you see rugby league and you see the face players going across the line, you see them using the dummy runner.
I look at England, right? And I look at that axis of 10, 12.
Yeah.
And when they're on the front foot, you can see that they've been brought up in a rugby league environment. When they hold defences so honest, right, with George Ford and Farrell, and they're, again, the two passes that... unfortunately put Elliot Daly to score against Wales, England Wales this year, came from George and from Owen Farrell.
They're
on the button, made him run onto it. So there's those skills that they've been taught as youngsters. If you look, I think a lot of them would. It's never ever going to happen because they can't jump from one sport to the other now. But if you look at someone like George Ford, if he run different angles, Mike Brown, you know, he would hit the line and pass once he's hit the line. All the backs would improve, because they hold defenders by running inside shoulders. But that's with the coaches that, you know, they have now, that shouldn't be an issue, because they should be working on that. If they see him crabbing across the field and cutting the space out for the winger, then they should be working on the inside shoulder all the time, because defences, it makes so much about defences, you know, defences dictating games. Defence, if you've got more defenders than attackers, you blitz. If you've got less, you push and drift.
Mm.
And that's it. And so the defenders now look to me far more confident than the attackers. As if if you've got a ball in hand, as if they're panicking, whereas you should be, it should be the other way around. The attackers should be putting in the defenders where they want to be to create space for the outside players.
Yeah.
So it's just a mindset of, can the inside centre manage a defence when he's got an overlap to put his winger away? And that, the answer should be yes, but unfortunately they're not now because they get throwing miss one passes and all that. So there's...
It's when you look at, like, if you look at Saracens and Bath, like face play, you can see, like, rugby league all across that back line. You know, they use two dummy runners. The ball player takes it up flat, puts it behind.
There's always a couple of waves, isn't there?
Yeah.
But you have, but what a lot of teams try and do that. But speaking from as a bloke who used to worry about defending these things, it's very often very easy to defend that because the blokes who are in the front line never look like getting the ball. It's the guys that actually, when you've got a really good 10 or 12, it's the fact those boys, not only good actors, but they know they might get it.
But if
they could do anything. 10 or 12 could do anything. They could deliver any pass.
Yeah.
So you've got to be on it.
If you're running two plays like that, though, in two ways, you've got two opportunities there and all you're waiting for is someone to step out the line or someone to make a bad decision.
Yeah, you've got to ask the question. Like with Wales and Scotland this year, the difference was Scotland asked questions of the Welsh defence and they did the wrong decisions, whereas Wales didn't ask any questions of the Scottish defence, and that was the difference. For two tries the defender came in and did the wrong move, so that was the problem. So, but with also the dummy runners don't think that they're important in the runs.
Yeah.
But you know, in rugby league we used to go, right, okay, dummy runner should run through, and if he wasn't concentrated, right, we'd throw the pass straight in his face.
It wasn't
supposed to come to me. You're on the pitch, mate.
Yeah.
You're on the decoy runner.
Yeah.
If the decoy isn't working and the defender pushes on away from you, you're having it.
Yeah.
And that's what you're saying, Flats, is that's where 10 and 12 are good because they can pop it to him, then he hits the line.
Yeah.
So well, it's,
once, right, playing against Australia on tour in 2010, Charlie Hodgson, I think, was playing 10 for us, England A or Saxon, whatever it was, dirt trackers, and playing against Aussie A. And the two things that I remember from that game, one was that they had a new fullback called James O'Connor.
Yeah.
And we said he's tiny and he's getting to him, he won't like it up him, and he scored a hat trick and got taken off after 50 minutes. He was absolutely immense and he was battering people as well. And the other thing I remember was that we were doing it, we had to run like the first phase, me and I think it was like Dan Cole or someone had to run the dummy line in front and they put it behind us, and it just wasn't working because we were never getting the ball, it was never on. So I remember saying to Charlie Hodgson, I'm going to put my hands up like I'm not getting it and then give it to me. And I'd seen Kevin Sorrell do it at Sarri's once, and I said, no, put my hands up, and he gave it to me and I went straight through and it was golden. And I was clean through, and I made about 6 metres because they took me the guy that long to turn. Gertie Beale it was. He turned and caught me in about 6 metres.
Do you know what's interesting? Right, the
best thing I ever did.
The dummy runners that make the most noise don't often get it. It's the ones that don't make a noise.
Yeah,
are the ones that tend to get it.
Yeah. Charlie Hodgson was a great player. He was another guy who could take a ball to the line.
I used to look at Charlie.
You will be.
I will be in a minute. I used to look at Charlie and think what he does better than almost anyone else is he can, it sounds really obvious, he can run dead straight at the line and deliver a pass late, but he can deliver a good, accurate, wide pass without drifting toward, with the pass.
Yeah.
He can keep his hips straight
totally
and
right.
give that pass.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the end of my knowledge of that.
Isn't it, another question from David Harvey, right, Jeff? He wants to know, he watched your debut at Widnes. Have you let go of Andy Currie's hand yet? Does that make sense? Lovely hit on Jiffy when he chipped ahead.
Oh, Andy Currie.
Yeah, it says, has he let go of Andy Currie's hand yet?
What's that now?
I don't know. Andy Currie's a great player.
I played with him in London Welsh.
In London Welsh, great player. Adge.
Yeah.
Funny as hell.
He'd only do. He'd only go make an outside break on one, like right to left.
One of the laziest players ever. Yeah. You know, he'd be offside all the time. But what a player! You know, he went to Australia and killed it over there, smashed it. But because I was smaller. Like the two centres in Widnes in 91 were 6'4", 6'5", Andy Currie and Darren Wright. Then you had John Devereux and Alan Tate.
Yeah.
And then you had Martin O'Fire. So one of
the good times.
It was a big backline. But I did, it's always nice when you have those boys around you when you have make a debut, because it's a bit nerve wracking.
What's your greatest rugby league try, mate? best try scored rugby league.
That's special. I think that's maybe people class it as the best because it was on television. It was against Australia and it was in Wembley and we won the test. So that's when.
And who was there 15? Because he was meant to be the quickest man.
Brett Mullins.
Yeah.
But he was caught up in a tackle earlier on, see, and he was like had a little bit of a go with Alan Hunt.
Okay.
So he's a little bit out of the position. Yeah. They notice those things.
Smoked him.
Yeah. And then the Halifax away has scored 2 tries. Ray French goes, they're the best tries you've ever scored. I went, oh, thanks, Ray. He knows a bit or two, one or two things about rugby league.
Take those then.
Yeah.
Do you, I mean, you haven't played for a long time, same as us, or longer than us, of course, but, you know, it's not that you miss playing, I'm sure you don't, but, well, you maybe do. But one thing I always think that can't quite be replicated is going on tour. And the tours towards the end of my career weren't as fun as the tours at the beginning. But it's kind of like when, and this is the sort of thing that our listeners, you know, both of them, might not like to hear, but when one of the first things you asked me is, are you going to New Zealand? And I said, no, no way. And the truth is, I don't want to go to New Zealand. I don't want to go away for 5 or 6 weeks. Because it won't be a proper tour, because I'll be with some mates, not all my mates, and whatever. I'd rather stay in London and watch the games here and do, you know, not that we're in London now, but work here and whatever.
Like with me.
Like with you, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I, you know, so there are certain opportunities over there, but I actively don't really want to go. I'd rather be here. But I do miss being on tour and rooming with my mates and getting on the lash on a Wednesday night and all that. Do you?
Who was like your best roommate?
I shared a room with Joe Lydon for 6 weeks.
Really?
In New Zealand.
Did you understand a word he said?
Yeah, he's brilliant. You know, he's brilliant. Like, you know, and Dennis Betts. We went to Papua New Guinea.
I have been,
look at these places. I have toured Tonga, Samoa, Fiji, Papua New Guinea, New Zealand, Rugby League and Rugby Union. So those are the...
How long would the tour be?
It would be only 6-8 weeks.
Quite long still, though.
Not too bad, but you could relax and enjoy yourself. You could, as Flat said, you know, we'd play on a Saturday. You know, we'd travel maybe on a Monday, too. We'd have a go and have a few pints on a Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, and just enjoy it and see the country. You know, it was just brilliant, brilliant fun. Sharing a room with someone like Dickie Moriarty or Roland Phillips, who's off his head, just great, great fun, great banter. Mark Ring and Glenn Webb, you know, they were two characters. But I just really enjoyed touring. It was great. You know, you'd see a little bit of the country and have a really get to know your fellow players well, because you could relax and enjoy a few points and we were getting smashed in New Zealand as well, mind. We lost the 2 tests by 50 points.
Join the club, mate.
I know. Not many people haven't been back.
Put your tracksuits on for the hack, that would have done it.
President of that club.
Yeah, it's a shock.
That
would have done it. Yeah. But I don't miss playing, because I wanted to play every week. You know, I look at the boys now when they go, I can't play Saturday and then can't play the following Saturday. I understand it's a lot more physical. But then again, you've got to look after your players. I wanted to play every weekend if I could, if I wasn't injured. I remember playing against New Zealand in a test match on one Saturday up in Leeds. I was driving home and Dougie Lawton, the witness coach, said, oh, great game, lad. Get yourself in the bath now, nice warm bath, relax. You're playing against Oldham tomorrow. So I turned up, played New Zealand on a Saturday, Oldham away on a Sunday, right? And I was in 30 then.
Okay.
And then you go, like, when you've won the match, I'll take you off. 68 minutes, right? I'm still on, right? I'm looking at him. Every time I looked over to put my number up, he turned away. So I remember I said, I was playing against a fullback. He's a bit slower than me, older. I said, I took a miss one off a scrum, off the stand off Tony Myler. I went outside the fullback and I scored and I said, that's it, John. Fucking going off. And I walked in.
I'm out.
But you play
off
Saturday and Sunday. Yeah.
But this happened when we were at Sarri's Shanks. I came off the bench, but I played, I can't remember how long, but quite a significant amount of time. Saturday, like an evening, so 4 or 5 o'clock kickoff for England against Argentina at Twickenham.
Yeah.
Drove home that night, had a hot bath, and started against Saints the next day. I played against Saints at Watford the next day with Julian White. And it's an international and a premiership game Saturday, Sunday, and no one ever mentioned it.
Exactly.
It's normal.
Where are you going wrong, mate? It should be cold bath now.
I don't know.
It?
Yeah, sure. I don't know why my shoulders exploded.
That's it, mate. But you wanted to play, and it's just.
Great crap.
Oh, you got to play him. Because when you, that's why I don't miss playing, because I played a lot of rugby and I wanted to play. Whereas players who are, you know, I might not play, you know, I might take this weekend off, they might miss it. And that's when it, you know, when you do finish playing, we all know how difficult it is to readjust to normal life and trying to get a job. And but that's what they were trying to do. If you've done your bit, you've played everything, you've given everything, you've got no regrets, then you can close that chapter and begin another chapter. And I think it's for your mental state, I think that's, you know, that's good.
Yeah.
Flatty, what have you been up to this week? I haven't asked you that yet.
You haven't asked me. We normally ask each other this, Jeff. Offer you listen to
it. He did tell me that.
This week, well, last week I went, what is it? Yeah, this I went on a VIP shooting day. So it was VIP.
Give us the brief.
I will do, mate. It was VIPs plus me, and up at EJ Churchill in High Wycombe near the old Wasp ground. It's an awesome place. I'm not a massive shooter, but I'm getting into it, and I'm not very accurate, but I like toys. And it's called a Boys Toys Day.
Okay.
So it's just boys and their toys. So it was shooting guns, driving supercars, and eating barbecues. Right, it was, apart from the fact there was no boats there because we were, you know, landlocked,
yeah.
It was perfect. And there were helicopter rides. I didn't go in a helicopter, not great with heights. But, you know, supercars, you turn up and there's like the supercharged SVR Range Rovers. There's Jags, Porsches, McLarens, Ferraris, Aston Martins, Bentleys. And you just literally stick your name down for what you want to drive.
Yeah.
And you get in it with a pro driver. And he's like, yeah, go.
Do you ever go on a John Bentley?
Just boot it. Yeah, I went on a John, yeah. It's like, just get in it and boot it. And there's no mucking around. It's not like take it easy. They take you on roads where you're allowed to go a little bit faster, and then there are certain zones that are like, right, slow right down through here, and you're sensible.
Yeah, it's a school.
But you are. I mean, at one point, I was in a 180 grand Aston Martin, kicking the back out on the A, whatever it was. It was fantastic.
But it's weird, isn't it? They, you know, on these shooting days, they take you out the night before, get you all sloshed up on the drink, and they give you a gun next day.
I know. Yeah.
I was so drunk once. I thought, I went shooting. I went in the woods to have a waz. And I put my pants on the wrong way around.
That's a week.
And they gave me a gun.
In 2003, in the World Cup in Australia, we got to stop off at some sort of special forces camp and have a go on the guns. So we had like silencers on MP5s and stuff like that. And we had like handguns and stuff. And there's this big old machine gun. And you can only have it on single fire. You couldn't flick it onto semi-automatic. So you're shooting this target, probably like, I don't know, 20, 30 metres away. And I
halfway across Josh Jiffy's kitchen diner here.
Because I played on like Call of Duty, I was really good at, like, I knew my weapons.
It's another thing that's different. I never done those games when we
were playing.
So I flicked it onto automatic.
Yeah.
Oh. And my finger on the trigger, oh my God, right, there's bullets in the ceiling. I just went from like eye level all the way up to the top.
Yeah.
Bollocking.
Yeah. Good fun though.
It's my only gun story.
Did anyone die? And I went to La Rochelle, as I said, and people think this old TV lark is all glamour. Well, 3:30 alarm call Saturday morning, AM, obviously AM Saturday morning, and 4 AM taxi.
Probably didn't go to bed, did you?
One flight, Bristol to Amsterdam, 2 hour layover, but there's delays, so you almost miss your flight. Amsterdam to Nantes, go and have to hire a car, and then do a 2 hour drive to La Rochelle, and then have a quick shower and get a taxi to the stadium. So it's 3 cars, 2 flights.
What car did you get?
I got an executive coupe, so it was actually all right. But then you go, there's no food because the hotel's like, do you do room service? No. Have you got any food? Can I have some of that food there? No. No. Okay, just unbelievably rude, but quite good fun.
That's no in French, yeah?
Yeah, it's no in French. And then you do the game, which was great. Yeah. The game was great and Gloucester were fab. And then you get back to the hotel at midnight and it's shut. So it's like, right, go to bed, get up at 6, 3 cars, 2 planes, home at 10 o'clock at night. It's like, it's just like, not complaining. But friggin' hell, brutal.
I know.
So you come back from a weekend in La Rochelle, and your wife's like, "Do you have a nice time?" Like, well, no. I mean, I enjoyed the game, and I like the lads, but
the Wales France game.
That's when you lost your voice.
Lost my voice, the cold, and I didn't. You know, I do like going out.
Yeah.
Like a social animal, but I did not go out that night.
No, and, legally you have to say that.
No, I was right. Yeah. I had witnesses, thank T's God. And I had real bad cold, and I got to the French Stade de France, and the. A guy came around, a doctor on the ground said, oh, we can inject some cortisone into your neck. I said, no, I'm fine, thanks. Well, she told me, I said, well, we will inject cortisone, but it might not work. I said, but don't worry, I'm not going to have it. And then me and Nugget and Eddie Butler then went to just manage to get our flight because remember how long the game went on for?
Yeah.
You know, the extra 20 minutes at the end. So we just managed to get the flight. No, sorry, delayed. We left at midnight. Redirected to East Midlands.
Oh,
And then straight back from East Midlands, I got home at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Not glam.
Savage.
No. It is not
savage.
Glam.
We had a question on WhatsApp, or not WhatsApp, it might have been
Facebook.
Facebook or something like that, the other week, right? It says, it was one for me, it says, question for Tommy, can you confirm or deny, on a stag do in Krakow about 5 years ago, our party got split up and half the boys bump into you and you said no photos as you're supposed to be injured and not out on the latch.
You.
True, or were you just being Billy Big Time and too cool for us valley peasants? Right, so what happened, right, is my mate stag do, and I told Di Young that I was going to a wedding on the Friday, so could I have the day off?
Yeah.
But really I was going to Krakow on a stag. And that day in training, I sort of pulled my quad muscle as well before we left. So I missed half the training, bandaged up, compressed it, riced it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then went out to Krakow. And I turned my phone off as well because I thought if anyone...
Foreign ringtone.
Yeah.
Die rings you.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that was all fine until Sunday when we were coming back. And we got to the airport and the flight had been cancelled. And the next flight to Bristol was Tuesday, and I had to be in train on Monday morning. So I'm really shit now. I'm thinking, oh God, I'm gonna have to come clean. I tell him, you know, it wasn't a wedding. I was at Friday. It was my best mate stag do.
Why couldn't you say the wedding? It was in Krakow.
Yeah. That was going through my head. But anyway, I managed to find a flight. We found a flight to what's the other place in
London
now? Poland now, not Krakow.
Warsaw.
Warsaw. Found a flight to Warsaw.
There's a few more places there as well.
Yeah.
Warsaw to Stansted, hire a car, drive to Bristol, drop the hire car off, get into our car, drive home, got to training. Got home about 6, got to train about 7:30 in the morning. So what are you worried about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This story's as long as the journey.
Yeah,
Jesus.
No.
Sorry, is there a punchline? No, it's not. Sorry.
No, it's a genuine question from Gavin Roper. Just set him straight. Yeah.
Ropes.
Tell the truth.
Jiffy, what does... It's a question from D. Flatton of Bath. What does a typical week look like for you now? So not this week necessarily, but a typical week.
It varies depending on... You know, times of the year with Six Nations, I'll do like the international on a Saturday. I'll do a scrum 5 on a Sunday. Catch up with some work on a Monday. I work for a training company in Cardiff. Also work for a building company, Andrew Scott's in Port Talbot. So I either do something for them. Tuesday then I'll do a chat show in Welsh.
Yeah.
In the for S4C.
Guess what it's called?
It's not called Scrum V, is it?
No, it's the other one.
Oh.
Jonathan Show.
Oh, the Jonathan Show. Oh, of course
it is. Can't get rid of me. That's been going for like 12 years now.
Gets brilliant. It took me a week to think of that name.
I know.
Yeah.
It's brilliant, though. Yeah. Well, you know, they can't sack me now, can they?
No.
So, unless they call it Nigel.
Yeah.
Because he's on it as well. Nigel and Sarah. So then, so that's it. Those are the things. I'll watch a lot of rugby then, catch up on the rugby. Do a bit of, I don't know much, you know, like, I'm not a big stat person and this and that, because I think a commentator says what's happening, and our role is to say why it's happening. So irrespective of all the stats, that particular moment in the match is different from, you know, anything previous. So so that's generally what I do. And then as the season gets you know, maybe this month now, or May, with the finals of everything gets a little bit slower, so I do a bit more work. I do enjoy my golf.
Shitload of golf. A
couple of golf as well. Put a golf in the Royal Puthcall. Great course, isn't it, Shanks?
Yeah,
Shanks can't play
course,
it.
Mate.
Shanks can't play it. Kills
can
him.
Well,
kills
I say
him.
That,
too hard.
I come in with a winning putt.
He did.
Last time we played.
He did.
Well, when I say winning, it was to draw the game, wasn't it?
So non-losing.
Yeah,
but it felt like a win.
But now it's rugby league as well now. So next weekend after next, I'm up doing the Challenge Cup, which I really enjoy.
Yeah.
And again, you know, once you get on the social media there, oh, what do you know about rugby league?
Yeah.
You're Welsh, you live in South Wales, and you know you don't know nothing about rugby league.
Yeah.
Okay. Man of Steel, Player of the Year twice, Cup in the Great Britain, played in Australia as well. So doesn't matter where I live, I still watch it and follow it, and I still understand it. So get lost.
Yeah.
Right, boys, we're gonna have to have a break now, so we can get an advert in.
Oh, okay.
Right. You're alive, innit, Jeff?
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah.
Go on then.
It's Bet of the Week. As you know, partnered by Leo Vegas. You want to get on their website, leovegas.com.
I just accused Shanks of cocking up the Bet of the Weekend, so she'd let me take over, but then he reminded me that we did bet on Claremont to win, and he overruled me because I said Leinster.
Yeah, and I said Claremont by 6, and I feel a little bit disappointed because it's only by 5. But
Muppets.
No, I said by 4, and it's by 5.
Oh, Muppet.
Yeah.
Muppet, you're
same,
right.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing. So, yeah, you take the reins, mate.
Yeah, so if you go on to leovegas.com, you can see this bet. We put a bet on every week. We put £25 on, and if we win, that money goes to charity. What's a charity, David?
Children in Need, Tommy.
Yeah. Please make sure you're 18 and terms and conditions do apply.
And bet what you can, not what you
can't.
And when the fun stops,
keep going. Stop.
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 You bugger. Get out of town.
So most of the games we bet on have been either the Aviva or the Heineken. We're going to bet on a Pro 12 this week. Ospreys are playing Ulster.
Win in Rome.
The Liberty Stadium. Jif, why is it so important, this game?
I think whoever loses will not make the top 4 playoffs.
Okay, so it's a huge game. Now, the Ospreys haven't had a great run of form. The last time they played, they were pretty much MC hammered by the Blues in the Principality Stadium. So it's a big game for them. We are saying the Ospreys are going to beat Ulster by 3 points.
I disagree.
Yeah.
But I always do.
Three
you don't
or
care.
More than three.
If you'd overruled me last week and you'd lost, I could overrule you this week, but you are currently... You're basically holding the joker at the moment.
Yeah, I can just sound you out if I want.
You and Jif think that Ospreys are going to do it by a couple of points, and I'm going to go with that.
I said to Flats, who should we bet on this week? He's like, oh, let's bet on Bath. God, I love Bath.
Where's Bath Gloucester?
Oh, just because you play for Bath.
It's Derby, isn't it? Are you saying I'm biased again?
Oh, do a good job with that yourself, mate. Right, there we are.
Good luck, everyone. Oh my God, calamity. Good luck.
Lions watch.
Lions watch.
41 men in the squad. 4 more than we thought. I thought it was going to be 37-man squad. For you, David, any real surprises?
I reckon, in terms of surprise, not surprise, but I thought Fraser Brown might go. I think he's a really, really good player. Scottish hooker. I would potentially, excuse me, not Jamie George, because I think he's, and I think Cairns has been in such good form, I'd potentially take Fraser Brown over Rory Best.
Okay.
But I think Rory Best, who is Rory Best? Rory's what?
One of
Rory Best is fabulous. There's no issue there. I don't call that a surprise. I think the two most surprising,
you asked me for biggest surprises. The ones I question the most are Joe Launchbury not going.
Okay.
And I feel like if you're going to... You see, if everyone we're saying we're going to take, you've got to leave someone out, right? Yeah. So I would be inclined to... I'd be inclined to say that Courtney Laws wouldn't go and Launchbury would where I pick in the team. Because I think Courtney Laws has been magnificent in the Six Nations. He's been great. And for Saints since he came back. I just think Launchbury does more.
But you've also got, right, you've got three second rows who play six there as well.
So yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. But you, to be fair...
Ian Henderson plays six as well.
Itoji, Cruz. Yeah. Cruz does as well. Henderson, yeah. Laws. But Cruz has played six for Sarries. Itoji does as well. So actually, you don't need another one.
See, Moriarty was a good surprise for me. I didn't think they'd take Ross Moriarty. I thought they'd take the three back row for Wales they did. Yeah. But if there's a type of bloke that you want against New Zealand who's a tough bloke, who's up for it, who smashes people, who's aggressive, tough bloke, you want him, really.
He's going to batter people.
I think he's going to be, but I think someone said he'd be the Wednesday, one of the Wednesday teams, wouldn't he, I think, unless he plays himself into the test side. Mm. But he's going to be there smacking people and not taking the backwards step. So he's good for the tour. I think you need someone like that. For me, the two, maybe he is a surprise, Ross Moriarty. I think he is a surprise to go. I think Jarrod Payne is a surprise
real
as well.
Real surprise.
He got fit for the last game, didn't he?
Yeah, and then you've got, you know, for me, I think that he's mentioned Farrell as a 10. And I'm thinking, hang on now.
I'm the same.
If you're going to beat New Zealand, you have to beat them by playing and scoring tries. You're not going to, you're not going to smash them up. They play against South Africa every year.
Yeah,
they know
Argentina.
Yeah, Argentina. So they know what it's like to be kind of smashed and battered, you know. So they know they have to muscle up and then they play the football. So we have to play Farrell at 12, I think. And then
he's the only ball playing 12.
Yeah, it's only one if you look at the squad. And I think Dan's. It was a.
Unless I make myself available.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Mm. It's between Dan Biggar, you know, Ford and Finn Russell. I think any one of them could have gone.
Yeah.
So the two that have missed out have been unlucky for me. So.
What they have.
But
got,
it's not many that you think.
Do you know what?
What they have got in the team though is a lot of versatility.
Yeah.
So you've got like Jarrod Payne who plays 13 or 15.
Well, I was going to ask why do you think he's obviously a classy player? But why has Jarrod Payne been picked over guys that have been fit for the last few months playing Six Nations every
week? Well, he's obviously highly rated and he is a good player, but because he can play 13, because he can play 15, and again, he's not likely looking like he's going to start the test matches, but in terms of like soft tissue injuries that are going to occur, you know, he can filter around that back line and play in different positions. Same as Elliot Daly. You know, that guy can play anywhere on the back.
I think Elliot Daly could be the star player.
Yeah.
I think Elliot Daly will, for me, I was surprised I would have played Elliot Daly full back against Italy.
Mm.
Okay. I think he's got everything. He's got a great runner, tremendous pace, good left foot on him. So I'd have played him full back for England against Italy. I think he is going to be the, you know, one of the stars out there. I think Ben Teo could have an opportunity, but it'll be interesting. So did you listen to Steve Hansen's remarks once the tour was announced?
About the never seen Gatland do anything else.
Yeah, and he said, look, you know, unless he surprises me, you know, he's picked the side, you know, to go and try to monster them. Yeah, but you've got players there, you know, like your Jonathan Joseph, like your Owen Farrell, you know, Liam Williams. I think he'll be unlucky. You know, I don't know. I'm not sure if he'll get in as a test winger.
Do you know what, Jiffy? I look at the squad, and another name I was going to mention. I know I'm in enemy territory here. I wouldn't have picked Lee Halfpenny on the tour. I wouldn't have had him there. I just think that he's a wonderful goal kicker. He's brave. He's reasonably quick. He's kind of got everything you'd want. But did he do his knee a while ago, didn't he, or something?
Yeah,
anyway,
it was his knee.
I've watched him play loads of games for Toulon when he's played. I watched him play in all the Welsh games. And there's been some nice touches, loads of bravery, great positioning, good goal kicking. You can almost rely on that. I just don't think he's got it anymore in attack, or this season he doesn't have what he's had before.
Yeah, I think he showed his reaction when he was picked, and I think that it was a huge sense of relief, because maybe in previous seasons he'd have been a kind of a certainty. So I agree, he hasn't had his best season.
Anyone who didn't get picked put the video up of them?
I know, yeah. I was going to do a video of the squad being announced and me sitting at home and say, oh, for fuck.
Don't like water.
Yeah,
it is odd. You know, I think it's it'll be interesting to see what the first test side is going to be.
There's a question here from Spike Davis. Right, he wants to know who do you think will be the impact players, finishers to come off the bench during the Lions tests?
Well,
so I think we sort of said mention one, possibly Ben Teo.
Well, first of all, you Ben Teo, and then you look at the, I mean, look at the front row to start with, Mako and Kyle Sinclair.
Yeah,
there's two. Yeah,
they're your bench guys, because Jack McGrath for me is about all three of those guys, Marla, McGrath, Vunipola, are very, very good. But McGrath is not someone who's going to come off the bench and tear it up. He's a grinder.
Yeah.
And I think he's brilliant at it. Joe Marla can defend brilliantly when he comes off the bench, but it's Mako and Sinclair.
What about, what about someone like Jack Nowell?
I'd tell it would be a...
One of the scrum halves as well.
Yeah, a good finisher will be. I think, if they start with Connor, one of those scrum halves would be good. They bring something different, Rhys Webb and Ben Youngs. And again, if Rhys Webb starts or Ben Youngs, Connor Murray brings something different. But for me, maybe the biggest finisher for me will be someone like CJ Stander.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm not sure if he'll get in the test team, because if you look at the back row, you got to play Billy Vunipola. I think you have to play Faletau somewhere. Faletau's just class.
The last couple of games he's played for
Bath. He is just...
And Warburton probably.
And then, you know, who's going to play? Yeah, seven. So... Mm. CJ Stander, Sean O'Brien, massive impact off the bench, but
CJ Stander carrying hard against the tired bodies or tireder bodies.
Yeah.
Is tireder a word?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good series, actually.
Yeah, it's going to be fab. The Jack Nowell thing, I sort of wonder if he's not more of a... He's got such a high work rate that he sort of delivers... He delivers over the course of 80 minutes pretty much what you'd want an impact player to deliver... You know, in the last 20 minutes, he's such high energy.
The thing is, so you look at the wingers and you look at the potential wingers and who's going to come off that wing and make an instant impact. And that's why I've sort of said him, is because he's that type of player, isn't he?
Yeah.
Bounces off tackles.
You know what? I watched the Claremont game at the weekend and Nick Abendanen, who's nothing to do with the Lions. And everyone always asks you at these dinners, who's the best player you ever played with? And he's one of those guys that I often mention because he was just fantastic, just an amazing player. And he's picking and going, and he must have been in 25 rucks at the weekend. He's in mauls, he's in rucks, and he's not doing it to show off. He's piling in and picking and going and making hits and clearing out. And Jack Nowell's a bit like that for me. He just loves it.
I like Jack Nowell.
Yeah.
Someone asked, pre-Lion selection, I picked him as one of my wingers. So
an
impact.
Do you think Jonathan Davis is lucky to go? Someone said lucky to me yesterday.
I think he has, but again... I'm not a big stats man, but his stats were very, very good, and he was on team of the Six Nations. I didn't really understand it, that selection. So, he knows he's capable of when he's over there.
Big occasion, he's really good and back in 2013. Big and strong.
I feel like I would take him. A few people have said to me he's one of the guys they reckon's lucky.
Yeah, Ringrose was possibly unlucky. He had a good try at the weekend.
Yeah. Oh, it's fun, wasn't it? Yeah.
But I still think you look at it, it is going to be... He's going to monster them, isn't he, I think.
Yeah.
And then he's got to, people like Jonathan Joseph and Watson have got to really, really shine, I think, to get into the test team. Yeah. Not because I don't think they should, because I think they have the quality, but because of Warren's, he's a stickler for
big as and well, massive.
He will try and go with the big boys.
Yeah.
And maybe if they don't win, he'll be forced to change, but I think that's what. I tend to agree with Steve Hansen.
I agree with you and Farrell though, at 12.
Got to play 12. If he plays, Teo 12 and then someone like Jonathan Davis 13, well,
yeah.
I'm not
sure. Even when
the Blacks got beat by Ireland still scored 5 tries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you've got to score tries.
But that was literally every opportunity Ireland had, they took, didn't they? They didn't waste any whatsoever.
Yeah.
We might as well crack on to the Champions Cup now.
Claremont
Leinster, obviously I called it
by
4 points.
Well done.
Number five. Strettle was good for Claremont.
Yeah, again.
Looked really good the first half. Aerial.
Happy, yeah.
And with the ball in hand.
He looks like he's enjoying himself, doesn't he? He smiles and he gets up and brilliant. I think the best two sides are in the final.
Yeah,
it's nice, isn't it? Yeah.
Do you know what Leinster, that lacking a bit of accuracy, passes weren't quite going to hand. They were dropping the ball.
They also got shoved around a bit up front. And they're not used to that.
They did.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weight in that. It's not.
Is that a worry for the Lions?
No, it's not.
Because we had a question on that.
Yeah, it's not a worry. Because when I say there's a lot of weight in the French side, in pound for pound, they're probably not much heavier because Clermont have got some big boys, but. Zirakashvili, the tight head, is an amazing player, but he's not actually a huge man. Shown in the case that they're not actually huge guys. They're just very, very strong. And a lot of the weight you put into a scrum is how much effort the back five put in, how aggressive the front row are, and how much effort the back. And you watch Vaa Mahina and you watch the other guys in the back five for Clermont, and they scrum like hell. So the reason it's not a worry, so it's very hard to play against those French sides when they're that aggressive. But what is not, well, the reason it's not really a worry is because the All Black scrum, just as we said before, just isn't that scary.
No.
It's an efficient machine. It's not aggressive.
No.
It did used to punish people when Brad Thorn was playing.
Yeah.
Since he retired, it no longer does. So they're about winning ball.
They use it as a base, don't they?
Yeah, they're clever. It's actually a good idea. It seems to work for them.
It is. So, and I think, looking at Saracens, there's a lot of, social media, though, Saracens this and money and all that. For me, the biggest asset that Saracens have got is their attitude.
Yeah.
That's the defensive they're up against. It. Like, you see Owen Farrell, he's just
mad,
a total winner,
Yeah, but
then, I just think that's their attitude.
But then his attitude is great in defence, but then he's also quite elusive in attack as well. Put a lovely kick through for Wiles, his try.
Yeah.
He's getting better and better.
He is getting better and better. And
but that's awareness, isn't it? It's not a magical thing to do. If you're playing 10 or 12, you should have the vision to do those kind of things.
Yeah.
And it's just a lovely kick. It's just picking the right option at the right time.
But they just shut teams out. Like Munster, I thought, there's a lot of individual runners with Munster. They were one-up runners, and Ash just...
I thought they were tactically naive.
Yeah,
they really were. But they didn't adjust.
No, they didn't. They're just sending their centres up on
cross kicks.
Balls.
Well, yeah, cross kicking all the time.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
It was weird. Usually they're quite savvy at grinding results out. But I thought they should have changed.
Conor Murray
a lot. Yeah, a lot of their tactics they should have changed.
You feel like with Duncan Williams, it's. Yeah. Punchy thing to say, but he's just nowhere near the same level. He hasn't played as much, which is part of the reason. But they every time the box kick goes up,
his kicking was nowhere near.
It just didn't. And you look at the guys around the ruck, and they can't ignore him, but they just don't have to pay in the heat. They pay Conor Murray.
I can't believe wasn't there with the centre. He came off the bench
for
Munster.
Saley.
Why wasn't he picked from the start?
I know.
Yeah, he's the most dangerous runner.
Isn't he good?
The previous week he cut sides up. I've seen him play exceptionally well. He's been their kind of go-to player.
Yeah.
And then they don't pick him against... And the possession they had in the first half, they needed someone like him on to do something different.
I tell you he was good as a centre coming off the bench was Penno for Clermont.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he any relation of Alan?
Yes, son, I think.
Is it?
Pretty sure.
I played against Alan.
Yeah.
He's a good player.
We played. Were you at Sarries with Alan?
No.
Oh, it was a year before you came. I played with Alan Penno.
Yeah.
And we're in a team meeting, and Alan is in there and with his wife. She's sitting in a team meeting. They're just talking away, like socialising. All the players come in and sit down, all strapped up, and it's a team review on a Monday morning, or Tuesday morning, because we lost on the Sunday, and Alan was terrible. Like, he was such a good player. Mm. He was terrible in this game. And the best thing he did was run in at one point during a maul, and someone tried to shove, a Gloucester player tried to shove him back out, and this is not the best thing, it's the worst thing, he uppercutted him twice in the face, and he loved to fight Alan, he was hard. Anyway, he was terrible, and his wife's in this meeting, and you're like, they're talking, gibbering away in French, and like, whatever, that's fine, the meeting's starting now, and she's like, okay, and she just stays there, and we were like, Francois Pienaar was running the meeting, was like, you staying? She looked at him like, I don't know what you're talking about, I don't speak English. Okay, you stay. Anyway, chatting for 10 minutes, she just starts talking to Alan. And one of the boys, like Chris Chesney, flipped him and said, "Oi, silence, shut up." And anyway, so they stopped doing it. And then 5 minutes later, she just lights up a fag. She gets a fag out and starts smoking in the team meeting. This is completely normal to him. It's completely normal. But I loved Alan. He was great.
He was a good player.
Yeah, he was. He was a lovely player.
Yeah.
Jiffy's catching flies over there. His mouth.
Any interesting? Any good ones? Any other good ones?
They're all real serious because I make sure when I put a tweet out, I say, "Look, I don't want any troll questions now."
Any idiots?
Yeah.
Any idiot questions?
As of now, who would be Lions 15? It's from Hugh Lewis.
Well, you're not going to pick him now. We're 15, are we?
It's too late.
As of now.
No.
Do you see the rig on Ricky January? What players do you play with that surprised you with their physique? That's Sam French.
Rob Fidler, England and Gloucester and Bar second row. I once watched him fail on 70 kilos on the bench press, international second row.
Brian Williams. Remember Brian Williams, the prop?
Yeah.
He couldn't lift 60k. But then again, he's the strongest man I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
Steve Jones. Do you remember Steve Jones? Jabber. He was a hooker.
Yes.
Appalling shape.
Honestly,
yeah. But got away with it. Reese Thomas. Reese Thomas.
A hooker. A few of them, isn't
it? Yeah, you know.
Bad rig. Brig.
Yeah.
No, I can't.
Terrible in the gym, but just amazing on the field.
Yeah, who cares if you're terrible in the gym?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Who cares? One thing I want to say before we go. There's one more question I'll ask you in a minute. We're going to ask you what your favourite book ever is in a minute. But we do that when we have guests on. But if one thing I want to say, and it's the sort of thing that I'm not saying it because we're sitting in your house in the Jiffy Hotel, the Jiffy Inn. But it's when there was this big hoo-ha, I think when...
You can collect reward points here, by the way.
A fellow commentator had a pop on Twitter. I think Dan Bigger intercepted the ball against England and you shouted, "Go on, Dan." I want to go on record as saying, I love that. I love it. And I've got a big... And what... The reason is, I don't think it is unacceptable. When I watch my old teams play, I genuinely don't feel that. I don't feel that emotional about who wins or loses. I don't tend to lose sleep over it, being honest. A lot of Bath fans don't like that, but I don't. But I love it when I don't care if a commentator clearly supports. Like Gary Neville is a Man United fan through and through. Jamie Carragher, Liverpool through and through. Absolutely. Rio Ferdinand, come on United during the game when he's on TV punditing. Come on United, we can do this. You know, I love that. I don't mind that at all. I think as long as you're, which you are, as long as you're willing to say they've been crap when they've been crap.
Yeah.
Then this is sport. How can you pretend not to support people if you do?
And if you see good play by England, like the try, as I said, when Elliot Daly went on the other side, they blame a couple of the cook the touch. Maybe
what a try!
What a brilliant try! Two perfectly executed passes and a great finish by Elliot Daly. So you have to praise the opposition. But you are. I know every commentator or pundit I've worked with and been with, you know, they're all so excitable and passionate about the team they've maybe played for or have supported. So sometimes you do get carried away but I think it is difficult to contain yourself sometimes.
There's a video of you and Nugget and a few others, wasn't it, when Wales beat England in the World Cup.
Yeah, and again you're thinking, I looked at that video and I thought, but you're thinking, how did Wales win that game? And we said it all the way through. England, dominant. You could just see Wales coming back. And when they won it, it's like, how did they win that?
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, so I England won the World Cup, right? I was there. I was very fortunate. I was working down in Australia for the World Cup. I sat there. I remember looking at my watch and it's 73 minutes gone, right? And I was totally absorbed in this World Cup final. And then when England won it, like, I was jumping up and down. Mm. You know, so... Because why should I support Australia? Why should I support France when England are part of the United Kingdom? Where's one in it? I was supporting England. So I would react. I reacted that way when England won the World Cup. So I'm a rugby fan. I'm a sports fan. And I get emotional and I kind of sometimes get excited. And
he's well enough now.
Oh, no, he's gone.
Yeah, lucky. Hey, if you can't play, you can commentate. Yeah. It's an extension of your career.
Get lost, people. Well, yeah. So there we are. Lions review with... One lion.
Piss off.
Yeah.
Which one did you go on?
Selected for two.
No, yeah, selected for two. I went on the main one, mate. Forget 97, 2013. 2005 to New Zealand was the main tour.
Vintage.
Yeah. We all know that. We all know that.
It was a vintage year.
Yeah, Jeff, you didn't go on a Lions tour, did you? But
no.
But you got no mortgage.
I love that. That's the best line ever, that is.
Yeah, I know. I won't believe. I did say this. When the 89 Lions were selected, and obviously I'd gone to rugby league. I was travelling up to Oldham on the M62, right? We're playing Oldham away. And I think I got this is going to be all column inches for the Lions tomorrow. I'm not going to be forgotten. So I scored two tries, and the player playing against me that day was Mike Ford.
Really?
And I met George. You can speak to him. He came up to me in the dinner because George Ford was when the RPA Player of the Year. One year and I was there and Mike introduced me to him and he said, "Remember that night when you run around me twice and scored 270 yarders?" I said, "Yeah, funny enough I do, Mike."
What happened was, before we go, Jiffy, your favourite book of all time?
if you can think of one.
Tough one. Yes, a tough one. I tell you what, one of the fascinating reads I had was I read Mike Tyson's book.
Oh, yeah.
Which is absolutely incredible, just to read that. And then about Midnight Express was a good book.
Oh, great book.
Very good book.
Yeah, really, really good. Haven't read it?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a film. Better than
the film.
Well.
It's better than the film. The film is brilliant.
Yeah, it is. I watched the film a few weeks ago, actually.
I think I've seen the film.
He gets the soles of his feet beaten, and yeah, it's.
Bites a bloke's tongue out, doesn't he?
Not great. No. Nice way to finish that, isn't it?
Yeah, lovely.
That's still a standard punishment in Wales for shoplifting and other petty crimes. Thanks, Jiffy. Been an absolute
been
pleasure.
Been a pleasure, yeah, boys. Enjoying your work. So keep doing it.
See you next week.
Ta-da.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.